It's time for the Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Also streaming live at KFARradio.com. Sponsored by Compos, your home for fun in the great outdoors. And now your host, Craig Compo.
All right, Fairbanks, it is another episode of the Outdoor Show. This is Craig Compo coming to you live from somewhere south of Fairbanks, but I'll be in Fairbanks pretty soon. Getting back from a nice extended trip, had some fun, met some old family I hadn't seen for a while. Just had some fun and missed a lot of that rotten cold weather. It looks like it's over now. You never know with Alaska, you know. I remember 93, the snow that you can still see all the bent trees around Fairbanks. It's one of those signs that Mother Nature is really the one in charge. She can be one nasty, yeah. Anyway, so lots of signs of old years. People remember. There's still signs of the flood, 67. I can see a friend of mine showed me over on, I think it was 9th Avenue, where their boat that was tied up just banging against the side of the house in the waves and whatever when other boats went by Cowell Street, if you can picture that. And, of course, they had never repaired it in whatever 50, 60 years. But, and you know, if you never saw it, there's a movie, I think you can catch it on YouTube. If you haven't seen the movie City Underwater, it's actually a documentary. Pete Van Ort, rest in peace, Pete. Pete Van Ort did an absolutely fantastic job with old footage and history and of the 67 flood. It ought to be mandatory in schools. I think they ought to see, you know, because kids now, they drive to work in their folks' Lexus, you know, and they order DoorDash from their phone at school. It wasn't like that in 67, especially in August. It was pretty crazy. I remember it pretty well. I'm in that video, by the way. They interviewed me, and one of the things, we lived right across from the old exploding Dairy Queen that lived, you know, on Turner there. We lived right across in where McGoffin's house is. That old, it's still all shuttered up. I don't know what they're doing with it, but that's where we lived. And we used to go across the street every night after dinner and get a dilly bar or ice cream cone. If we had our homework done, did our chores, and ate our dinner, we got to walk across the street. I was 7 when the flood hit. And when I was 7, I remember in the 14th, I can tell you what the date was, the 14th of August, 1967, my dad woke me up. We were on the ground level. We had a basement which was full of water. At that point when he woke me up, and the water was about 4 feet up on the side of the house, like a slow river going by. And my dad woke me up, and he said, "Look out the window, kid." And I looked out there, and I just was stunned. And he says, "What do you think?" And my first question to him was, "How are we going to get to the Dairy Queen?" Priorities of a 7-year-old. But anyway. And I remember walking across the, my dad put me on his shoulders because Compos was right over there where Dick Randolph's office is now on 12th and Cushman. That was Compos. And my grandparents lived in that log place right next to it, hooked onto it. My dad helped, we walked over there. I walked, he had his hip boots on, and I was on his shoulders, and we walked the block and a half over there, and, or half a block or whatever it was. It seemed like longer. I remember when the water receded, he gave me a squeegee, a big old squeegee, and I was pushing mud after they'd shoveled a lot of it out. They were hosing down buckets of water on the floor, and I was pushing the squeegee with all the little parts vials, and I was 7, so I don't remember getting paid for that, but anyway, such is life. Such is life working for the family business, but hey, I was digging through all my old files. I've got a bunch of my songs that people ask about at alaskansongs.com. You can listen to them for free. I think you can download them for a buck or something like that. And I have a bunch of them on there. I'm not trying to make money selling them or anything, but I started that for a little fundraiser for my daughter when she was in college. And she still somehow gets any money that's made off there. It's not a lot of money, but my little contribution to her, date night once a month or whatever. Anyway, I found a political song. This was from 2014 when Dan Sullivan decided to run against Mark Begich. And if you follow my politics, you know I was never a Begich fan. Mark Begich, I think, I like Nick. I think Nick's doing some really good stuff. I asked him once at a fundraiser we had at our shop. We had a big crowd. And I said, I got a question. I said, what's Thanksgiving like at your place at the baggage house? He goes, yeah, we don't talk a lot of politics. I said, yeah, that's probably better. But anyway, I'm going to try and play this song for you. This was called Battle for Alaska. And this was 10, 12 years ago. Anyway, let's see if we can play this here. Come on, where is it? There we go.
It's 2014, let's take a little trip, along with Mr. Baggage and the way he seems to flip. Pretend to be Republican by each and every means, but his vote that cinched Obamacare has got us eating beans. Let's fire that bum and let's get Alaska humming. Our people aren't as wealthy as they was a while ago. Let's fire that bum and let's get the oil running. On down that empty pipe, yeah, let's make a little dough. He sold us down the river, yeah, we should have seen it come. He's been nothing but a puppet beating on Obama's drum. They stooped so low, but we never will forget all the dirty, rotten things they did to take out Uncle Ted. Let's fire that bum and let's get Alaska humming. Our people aren't as wealthy as they was a while ago. Let's fire that bum and let's get the oil running. On down that empty pipe, yeah, let's make a little dough. Sullivan said we could take him by surprise, cause Alaskans know a weasel when they look him in the eye. He needs to be fired for the lies that he would tell, like he's all for drilling oil while he's bending over shell. Let's fire that bum and let's get Alaska humming. Our people aren't as wealthy as they was a while ago. Let's fire that bum and let's get the oil running. On down that empty pipe, yeah, let's make a little dough. Yeah, he ran with the liars and he ran with Pelosi and he ran with the liberals and he always voted oh. He ran so far from what used to be Alaska, he needs to pack his bags and move to 90210. He voted for the judges that'll bring the country down and supported all the spending under which we're gonna drown. We need to put a bunny boot real deep in his behind and elect a different senator that hasn't lost his mind. Let's fire that bum and let's get Alaska humming. Our people aren't as wealthy as they was a while ago. Let's fire that bum and let's get the oil running. On down that empty pipe, yeah, let's make a little dough. Yeah, he ran with the liars and he ran with Pelosi and he ran with the liberals and he always voted oh. He ran so far from what used to be Alaska, he needs to pack his bags and move to 90210. Come on, Mark. Game's over, buddy. Don't let the door hit you in the butt on the way out.
Yeah, that was Roger McGill with Battle for Alaska. That was done 12 years ago. That's crazy to me. Wow, it's kind of nuts. But that's how it goes, you know. Anyway, I was going through my old sites and finding some fun stuff that I might play another one here. I don't know. Some of these are just, there was one, another baggage one. I don't know if it'll play or not. I may not have it on here. It's actually one of my favorites of all time. Let's see. Will this play? I don't think so. Shoot. I'll have to bring this one back if it doesn't. We'll see if it plays. It's another Mark Baggage song. Let's hear it. Let's see if it plays. Yeah. Here we go. 8-Year Nap. One of my favorites. The Mark Baggage Story.
He's been living in the desert, and our wounds have almost healed. And he'd be raising taxes in the state he almost killed. We know he loves the spotlight, the 80 hens on his side, you know. But he lacks a spine and he likes to whine. He's that damned old Tony knows. Well, we were in a rut with his lousy butt. He's a whore for the petty crowd. It's the teeth that he suckles. The state almost buckled. He'll lose this next go round. What a bunch of crap, that old 8-year nap. We got burned as a state, you know. He's a dope, he's a pain, he's a little insane. And he calls himself Tony Knows. He sold us down the river when we handed him the ball. Now he's got a running mate that's as sharp as he is tall. Well, we'd all be driving NGOs in a state it would never grow. All the gas would stay down in the ground with that damned old Tony nose. Well, we were in a rut with his lousy butt. He's a whore for the petty crowd. It's the teeth that he suckles. His state almost buckled. He'll lose the next go round. What a bunch of crap that whole ear nap. We got burned as a state, you know. He's a dope, he's a pain, and I hate to complain, but we can't afford Tony Nose. He's a dope, he's a pain, and I hate to complain, but we can't afford Tony Nose. Whoa, whoa. Yep, been there, done that. Come on, Tony. It is enough. Now go back to Palm Springs and sit in the sun. And don't forget to put some lotion on them ears, buddy.
Thank you, Roger. Roger McGill with one of the other Tony Knowles songs. One of my least favorite politicians from Alaska. Did a lot of harm to this state, in my opinion. And you know how you can tell. Whoops, there goes. I'm going to turn that off. Come on. Yeah, there we go. Anyway, oh my gosh, I just found another one. I'm looking through this as we're playing this. There's one called Tony Song 3. Now, see, some of these aren't on my site because they're a little over the top. Let's see. Let's see what this one is. This is a short one. This is Tony. We might as well keep playing Tony Knowles songs here. See if I can get this one to play. Here we go.
Come and listen to my story about a man named Tony. I used to run a deli selling hoagies and bologna. And then one day in October 94, good guys with the vote, we wound up with Al Gore. Smiley, that is. With ears like satellite dishes. Kinda looks like a taxi with both doors open. It's a dozen years later, and here we go again. He's running with a guy that couldn't jump and touch his chin. Hey, Tony, we don't need you, but I would like to suggest you make a turkey sub for me, it's what you do best. What do you mean all you got is pita bread, Tony? Well, I guess that shouldn't surprise me. Now it's time to say goodbye to Tony and his clan. Don't need another trail made of eco-friendly sand. You're not invited back again, so take your little geek and open up a deli somewhere south of Beaver Creek. Yukon territories, that is. Or maybe even a little further. Say, like, Arkansas? And don't come back now, you hear?
All right, I think we're done beating up on Tony Knowles for the day. But I must have really had something for him because I have got a lot of Tony Knowles songs I'm digging out of the archives. And it's fun. It's actually a lot of fun. Anyway, I'm digging a lot of stuff out. I'm going to post it all on AlaskanSongs.com. And remember, 22nd of April at Ivory Jack's. We're not going to advertise it much because the place was just packed last time. We mentioned it on the radio a few times. I think a Facebook post the day before. But it's basically up at Ivory Jack's, free parking. Benny Lynn, the new owner, co-owner up there, and there's Christina's running the show. Christina Stepovich is a manager up there, and just a good crew of people, good grub. So get up there, have a cold beer and a sandwich or a burger or something. And I think it starts at 7, so you want to get there. I'm telling people get there at 6 or 6:15 or so because it fills up. I think we had 185 people in there last time we did this a couple months ago. We're going to try and do it at least every couple months. It's called Laugh You Long Time. And if you're not offended by a little stand-up comedy, you can go to the website and watch the old episodes. Anyway, we'll be back.
The Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio will return right after this. The Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio will return right after this.
For more than 75 years, the go-to outdoor business in Fairbanks has been Compos. Bob Compos Sr. first opened the doors on 12th and Cushman in 1945. A lot has changed since then, but one thing hasn't changed. Compos' passion for getting you outdoors and away from the rat race, and their business philosophy can be wrapped up in a few words Bob Sr. used to say. And that's, treat people right and they'll tell a few others. Treat them poorly and they'll tell a few dozen. Compos on Boat Street, doing business in Fairbanks since Harry Truman was president.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything on 50-50 Fridays? Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon, Compose Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Explore Fairbanks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. And now, back to the Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio.
All right, we are back, the back half of the Outdoor Show, 12:30 every Saturday, following Dr. Looper, Dr. Scott Looper, who I've really got a lot of respect for. That guy's a pretty intelligent guy, and a lot of my family visit him and get some good advice from him. He's a great doc. And then after this show is Fairbanks Foodies with David Bruce. Yeah, Dave went. I went to high school with Dave. We had a lot of fun together. In the 70s, he was kind of as a wrestling, big wrestling guy, and he was one of the guys that always beat people up. So it was always good to be on Dave's good side. You get a little, have a couple too many at a kegger, and Dave would back you up. So that was always good have somebody like that. Anyway, we were talking to old songs and stuff during the first part of the show. I wanted to. You know, we've got a lot. I've been really disappointed in our statewide politics, our legislature, particularly legislature. It just seems like they're always fighting over stupid stuff, trying to get more money out of less rock all the time rather than really cutting expenses. And, of course, they all go, well, we could cut everything. We could cut every employee in the state, and we're still in a hole. Well, why is that? Why is that? Is that because we don't charge it? We don't raise enough in taxes. We pay too much in dividend, or do we spend too much? I remember not that long ago watching them on a Sunday afternoon take snow off the bike paths. Now, granted, this could be a borough thing, whatever, but it's just government in general. There's so many examples of waste, and they're getting paid time and a half to take snow off the bike paths that we used to be able to ride snow machines on. And I remember reaching out to the at a DOT in Fairbanks at the time. I said, why are you doing that? You can't, the snow machines can't even ride there. Well, it's part of the ADA, whatever. It's for wheelchairs accessible. I said, okay. Used to see about 500 snow machines a day on those. I seen some guys that were, whose legs didn't work, who were riding snow machines. They can actually ride a snow machine. But anyway, so they had to clear them all down to pavement for the wheelchairs. That's okay, all right, so, but now where can we ride with the snow machines? We've got to ride in the ditch next to there, okay, yeah, for the three wheelchairs a winter that get on there. But anyway, I don't want to get in trouble there. But anyway, I've been thinking a lot about what a mess it is down there in Juneau, and I don't know why anybody would want to run. It's such a mess. I do respect those that go down there hoping they can fix things. We've got some good guys down there, but they're outnumbered by the bad guys. When I say bad guys, I mean the non-fiscal conservatives. But anyway, I was reading a story I'd never heard of before. It really reminded me of Juneau. And it was called the Erfurt Latrine Disaster. And I'm going to read part of what I learned. I asked my buddy Wayne Heimer, because he's kind of a historian, if he'd heard of it. And I don't think he'd heard of this. But he agreed to. It really reminded him of what's going on in Juneau. But anyway, it says here in this little story I read, dozens of nobles from across the Holy Roman Empire met for crisis talks on a summer's day in 1184, but the proceedings ended up in the toilet. It wasn't because they failed to resolve the dispute, they literally ended up in the toilet. Gathered in 1184, the year 1184, in an ancient church in Erfurt, the aging floor beneath their feet suddenly gave way, sending them plunging into the building's noxious cesspit below. Many drowned in liquid excrement. You see how this reminds me of Juno? Are you making the connection here? And, of course, we can only wish some of it. Sending them plunging into the building's noxious cesspit. Many drowned in the liquid excrement. Sorry if you're having lunch. Oh, sorry, just before the Fairbanks Foodie Show, too, by the way, Dave. Sorry about this. Others were fatally wounded in the fall, while several nobles were asphyxiated by the evil-smelling odor. In July 1184, King Henry V of Hohenstaufen dynasty, I'm sure I screwed that up, Hohenstaufen, who was ruler of Erfurt and the future Holy Roman Emperor, convoked a Hoftag, or an informal assembly. It was thought to have been within the Petersburg Citadel at Erfurt, which is modern-day Germany. The gathering aimed to address a dispute between the Archbishop of Mainz, Conrad of Wittelsbach, and Ludwig III, Landgrave of Thuringia. Oh, I knew all about that. The precise origins of the two men's bitterness have been lost to history, but land disputes were common gripes. No, not unlike today, right? See, how this goes back to Juno. They're arguing about land and access and all that, mental health trusts and all that stuff. Anyway, this was also a time of political tensions among the empire's patchwork of bishoprics, I don't know, princedoms and myriad city-states. Determined to mediate and resolve the feud, Henry summoned dozens of aristocrats and high-ranking officials from across the empire to attend a meeting. The Hoftag commenced on the morning of the 26th of July, with many delegates arriving the day before, but it wasn't long before disaster struck. The ancient wooden floor of the church collapsed under the combined weight of the nobles, and they were sent plummeting to the floor below. Here was the building's cesspit. Medieval latrines, primitive and often previously constructed, were a far cry from the luxuries of modern sanitation. Nothing more than large pits where sewage was gathered. Erfurt was about to give a stark lesson in the dangers of such basic facilities. Revolting and tragic in equal measure, an estimated 60 to 100 nobles, how many are there in Juneau? How many we have? Let's see what senators are on. Okay. Perished, either crushed by the falling woodwork, drowned in the horrific contents of the latrine, or asphyxiated by unholy fumes emitted by the rotting sewage. Yet, in spite of the huge death toll, all the key players in the dispute miraculously survived. Now, see, that would be unfortunate in Juneau. The key players are some of the ones I think we need to convince to retiring. King Henry and Archbishop Conrad escaped death by clinging to iron window railings. Anyway, this whole story, I'm not going to go into the additional detail because it's pretty detailed. But it all boils down to it's kind of a cesspool down there in Juneau, and I think the floor is about to break. In my opinion, the floor is about to break, and I would suggest holding it as long as you can if you're a fiscal conservative, and don't join the crowd because it's going to get ugly. It's going to get pretty stinky. So anyway, that's the Erfurt latrine disaster. You can look it up. I'm not making this stuff up. Erfurt, which is Germany back in the 1100s, late 1100s. So anyway, I'm not a real history buff. I am a history buff. I'm not a history expert at all, as you could tell by some of the gross mispronunciations I did there. That's kind of what's going on in Juneau. We talked a little bit on the first part of this show about we're going to be doing some comedy on the 22nd of April at Ivory Jack's. No tickets, no cost to get in. As far as I know, there wasn't last time. We were going to charge $10 and just give it all to the food bank. We're not doing it to make money. Just trying to remind people there's not enough laughter in this world. It's going to be fun. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Except for maybe Satterberg's gig. I'll have to try and help him with his. one of my subjects I talk about is I was recently in out of state and talking to a guy from Wisconsin. He had a camo shirt and a Wisconsin hat on, like a Packers hat or something on, and we struck up a conversation over a beer in a bar. And And we talk, and he goes, "Oh, you're from Alaska. You like to hunt?" I said, "Yeah, I love to hunt." I said, "We do a lot of hunting up there, moose and caribou, and a lot of fishing." He goes, "Yeah, I belong to a deer sport hunting club. I'm an avid deer sport hunter." And I said, "What was that term?" He said, "A sport hunter." I said, "Yeah, so that's a term I don't really recognize that much. We're in Alaska. We consider ourselves subsistence hunters. We actually put the food in the freezer as the priority when we go hunting. That's our number one priority. So that's not really considered." I said, you consider yourself a sport hunter, like a real?" He goes, "Yeah, I'm a sport hunter." I said, "Okay." I said, "I got a question for you. I don't really think there's such thing as sport hunting." But he said, "Why would you say that?" I said, "Okay, well, listen. Name me any one sport you know of, any sport, where your opponent doesn't know he's playing." And he kind of looked at me deer in the headlights, pardon the pun. I said, "I mean, look, he doesn't have a jersey. He hasn't got a number." and I said, "In fact, until the opening gun goes off, he doesn't realize he lost the coin toss and has elected to receive." And so anyway, that's just one of my little stories. We're going to do something different at the comedy show. We're going to actually tell a few jokes, and then we're going to tell a real-life, true Benny Lynn story. And for those of you that don't know Benny Lynn, it's your loss. Benny Lynn, one of my favorite guys in all of Fairbanks and North Pole. One of my favorite guys of all time. Very, very successful businessman, owns Pagoda's restaurant, as well as several other restaurants in town now. He's either full or part owner in. He's got a beautiful restaurant down in Burlingame outside of San Francisco that his brother, who before he passed away, was running that. And Benny's involved with that heavily. Probably one of the best restaurants I ever ate at. Just absolutely amazing food. And it seats 550 people. It overlooks the ocean. It's just, it's hard to describe, but Benny has got a wonderful sense of humor. He's just fun to be around. It's like listening to banjo music. You can't listen to banjo music and be in a bad mood. Steve Martin used to say that. Anytime you're in a bad mood, just turn on banjo music or go find Benny Lynn and hang out with him for a while. But anyway, so Benny's going to be there. Benny's, again, a part owner in Ivory Jack's, the new owner, one of the new owners. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I have got a story I cannot wait to tell about Benny Lynn. I may have told it on the radio before. It involves cooking oil, the police, the DOT. Anyway, it's just hilarious. It's something we did years ago out there. But anyway, we have a lot of fun with Benny. I made him a fake news story once where the DOT was had just approved a drive-through off the Ridge, a drive-through that went right by Pagoda's and then continued onto the Ridge. So you had to be real quick and pick up your Pagoda's to go. You know, you had to call ahead of the card, and they'll just kind of toss you the bag as you throw by at 35, 40 miles an hour and put a couple speed bumps in there. Benny was all for it. He's got Satterberg for an attorney, so that's concerning right there. But I could see where that could cause some issues. Anyway, we're going to have some fun with that. Coming up late April, it's about the last, going to be the last part of the sled riding. Everybody's getting their boats, starting to think about boats as the water's running off the building. You start thinking about your boat, getting stuff ready. Remember, if your boat's outside on a tongue jack, it's probably buckled. So you're going to want to go buy a tongue jack. Unless, I always tell somebody, cut a piece of log, put it under the front tongue of the trailer, and let the tongue jack take the pressure off that tongue jack, because those don't last very long. Nobody does it, but just like leaving your canvas up, you know, it's going to be laying on the bottom of your boat with a 90 inches of snow on top of it. But it's good for John Harrell out at Alaska Canvas. I don't know. He's one of the busiest guys I know. He's always busy. I mean, these guys that do boat canvas are always in the they're months behind. There's only a couple of them, but John has been our guy forever. And he does really good work out there out of North Pole. But anyway, we're going to about wrap up another show. Get ready for the end of winter, going into the month of May before too long, a couple weeks away. make sure you enjoy yourself. Stay safe. The roads stay. Watch out for those big puddles and the slick spots. And just be good to each other. We'll see you next week. This is Craig with the Outdoor Show. We'll see you next Saturday.
You have been listening to the Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio, streaming live at KFARradio.com. To listen back to this program or any past episodes, simply click on the Compos Outdoor Show in the Archives tab on the website.